We're going to start a new area of study now. We're going to talk about immunoglobulins and T-cell receptors. So we're going to spend a little time talking about the structure of immunoglobulins. That'll be the first thing in the chapter here. The basic structure of an immunoglobulin molecule is there are four polypeptide chains. Here is a light chain, and here is a heavy chain. There are two identical light chains. Here's one light chain, and here's another light chain. There's two identical ones. There's two identical heavy chains. Here is a heavy chain, and here is a heavy chain. This structure, this is a basic structure of a monomer of an immunoglobulin molecule. You'll also note that the heavy chains and the light chains have variable regions. So there is a variable region on a light chain and there's a variable region on a heavy chain. It is the variable regions that react specifically with the antigen. That's why it's called variable. Is every monomer of IgG identical? No. It reacts with what it's supposed to react with. Okay? Let's go ahead and look at this light chain. You will see that it has a variable region and it has a constant region. Let's look at the heavy chain. It has a variable region and it has three constant regions. The variable region is the one that binds to antigen, and this is called the Fab fragment. This particular part right up here is called the Fab fragment. So an antibody molecule has two Fab fragments. So what is the function of the Fab fragment? It is to what? Bind antigen. There it is right there. Binds antigen. Okay, you'll notice that this heavy chain down here has two functions. The two functions of that heavy chain is to bind complement and to bind to cells. Looky here, here this antibody molecule is. Here is the Fab fragments, and here is the FC fragment. Does that mean that this part of the molecule can actually bind to a cell? Certainly does. It can actually bind to a cell. Tell me what cell we've already talked about today that part, the FC part, can actually bind to. A macrophage. What does a macrophage have? An FC receptor. Okay? So what are the three functions of an antibody molecule? The three functions of an antibody molecule are to bind antigen, bind complement, and bind cells. Immunoglobulins are divided into five major classes. Another term for that is called an isotype. So there are five isotypes of human immunoglobulins. IgG is called gamma. IgA is alpha. IgM is mu. IgE is epsilon. And IgD is delta. These are the five classes or isotypes of immunoglobulins. We also have different kinds of IgGs. IgG is further divided into subclasses. There is IgG 1, 2, 3, and 4. IgG 1, 2, 3, and 4. IgA is also divided into subclasses. There's IgA 1, and there is IgA 2. Listen carefully to me. All of the isotypes All of the classes and subclasses are divided on the basis of the chemistry of the heavy chain. It's got nothing to do with the light chain. It's based on the chemistry of the heavy chain. So answer this for me. Is there a difference in the chemistry of an IgG molecule and an IgM molecule? Yes. Is there a difference in the chemistry of an IgG1 and an IgG2 molecule? Yes. Okay, they're all divided. All right, if that is the case, how many isotypes, how many different isotypes of immunoglobulins are there? IgM, IgD, IgE, IgA1, IgA2, IgG1, IgG2, IgG3, IgG4. How many? Nine. There's nine. Now listen to me. How many types of light chains did I tell you there were? Two, kappa and lambda. Now let's go back and ask the question again. How many isotypes of immunoglobulins are there in my body floating around right now? There's 18. There's 18 in my body right now. Is there 18 in her body right now? Yes. In your body? In your body? Yes. We all have all of the isotypes. As a physician, what is going to be the most important test that you order all the time, more regular than any other test in your career? You'll be ordering a what? A CBC, won't you? That'll be the most important test that you order. Everybody that comes into your office that has a fever, what are you going to do? You're going to take blood. You're going to do a CBC on it. All right? What is probably the second most important test that you're going to order? You're going to order an electrophoresis, a serum electrophoresis. You want to know how their liver is doing. You want to know how their serum proteins are. Here is what an electrophoretic pattern looks like. You're well aware that the most abundant chemical that you have in your bloodstream is albumin. That's our osmotic regulator, isn't it? Well, you also have antibodies. Most of the antibodies are going to be over here in the gamma fraction of the serum electrophoresis, but you'll also note that it overlaps here a little bit. So we do have antibodies in our serum, and they're mostly in this gamma fraction right here. We are now going to have a discussion, and we're going to talk about the five classes of immunoglobulins. Is that also called the five isotypes of immunoglobulins? Yes. Okay, number one, the first immunoglobulin that you need to know, and you will need to know these functions for that immunoglobulin. They will ask you something on this series right here. In fact, they'll probably ask you several things on this series. Here is the first class. It's called IgG. IgG is the highest concentration in our plasma. There's more IgG than there is anything else. Look at right there at the top of the page. IgG is the only antibody that crosses the placenta. It goes from mom to baby. IgG activates complement. IgG opsonizes. Now you know what opsonization is now, don't you? Look at here. Here this bacteria is. That IgG can react with it. And then what does this Fc portion hook up to? It hooks up to a macrophage, doesn't it? Okay? IgG is the most characteristic antibody produced in the secondary immune response. It's the most important in the secondary immune response. Now, F and G aren't quite as important. We haven't even talked about G yet, so we'll delay it for a while. But you certainly need to know that IgG is the highest concentration in plasma. It crosses the placenta. It activates complement. It opsonizes. And it is the highest antibody in a secondary immune response. That's number one. Number two. Number two immunoglobulin is IgM. IgM is large. It's a gigantic molecule. It is actually a pentamer. There's five monomers that hook together. And they're held together by a J chain. And we'll look at a picture of that in a little bit. They're held together by a J chain. This immunoglobulin is the primary immunoglobulin in the primary response. What always happens, every time you're exposed to a new antigen, what is the first antibody that's going to be produced? IgM. You're aware that you don't want a brand new baby to have a whole bunch of IgM, because what does that tell you about that baby if it's got it? That means that baby's got an infection. So IgM is the first antibody. It's the first antibody a baby makes. An increase signals an in utero infection. This is the best antibody at activating complement. So you can now name me two antibodies that activate complement. What are they? IgG and IgM, okay? This is also the antigen receptor on a B cell. Give me the two antigen receptors on B cell, IgM and IgD. This is a picture of an IgM molecule. We told you that it was a pentamer. So what it really has is it has five monomers. This monomer looks just exactly like the molecule we did a minute ago. It has light chains and it has heavy chains. These five monomers are held together by a J joining chain. And this is a pentamer. Now please note, make sure you get this. I want you to put serum IgM. This is not cell-bound IgM. Cell-bound IgM is a what? Monomer or pentamer? It's a monomer. This is serum IgM. Okay. Number three, the third immunoglobulin is an IgA molecule. The IgAs are found in external secretions, such as milk, saliva, tears, respiratory and intestinal mucus. IgA protects against mucosal infections, mucosal surfaces. There are two subclasses of IgA. Remember, IgA1, IgA2, two different subclasses. Now, IgA, when it is in the secretion, it is a dimer. So here is a dimer of IgA. It is held together by a joining chain. And you know what? This is protected by secretory piece. The next page shows you a picture of what happens to IgA. IgA is made by this cell. And when it's made, it is a monomer, but it's very quickly hooked together as a dimer, and it starts moving across the epithelium. This is moving over in the mucus. So when it moves across this epithelium, the epithelium actually produces the secretory component. Here's this little secretory component. It was on the page before, and what did I tell you the function of the secretory component was? To keep it from what? Being digested by enzymes, right? To keep it from being digested by proteases. Okay. So it is made as a monomer. It's hooked together as a dimer. It moves across, and the secretory component is added. Okay. We have two more kinds of immunoglobulins. They are not very abundant. They are not very abundant. Look at me. The most abundant immunoglobulin that we have in us is IgG. The second is IgA. And the third is IgM. It goes in that order. IgG, IgA, IgM. These other two are very minor. They are minor unless you have a worm infection, unless you have allergies, etc., etc. If you have allergies, you have more IgE. IgE has the unique characteristic of the fact that it binds strongly to mast cells and basophils. And if you have IgE binding to these mast cells and basophils, It causes release of these granules, and these granules can become very, very dangerous. We're going to talk about hypersensitivities later on, and that will be very important for you, your study in for USMLE. But tell me this, the antibody that is involved in hypersensitivity reactions is what? What isotype? The antibody involved in hypersensitivity reactions is what isotype? IgE. Okay. The last immunoglobulin isn't understood very well. It's IgD. We don't know a whole lot about it. We know that it's the receptor on a mature B cell. It is the receptor on a mature B cell. We want to continue on. We're still not through with immunoglobulins. This is a great summary table. If you understand this table, then you're going to be okay on it. If there are minor differences between IgG3 and IgG4, do not worry about that. They are not going to be that picky with you. What you need to know is this. What immunoglobulins activate complement? IgG and IgM. We already talked about that, didn't we? Okay. What immunoglobulins opsonize? Only IgG. Only IgG. What immunoglobulins go across the placenta? Only what? IgM. Only IgG. What immunoglobulin binds to mast cells? IgE. What immunoglobulin will bind antigen? All of them. Now, I want you to make sure that you understand what this means right here. You look at this and you say, well, I can't see where that's important. That is extremely important. What immunoglobulin, here is this B cell right here. What immunoglobulin is produced in every infection at first? IgM. Right after that, there is no more IgM produced against that antigen. It switches and it starts producing only what? IgG. Does everybody understand that concept? Here this cell is, we make IgM right at first, and it switches to IgG or one of the other immunoglobulins. All right, now let's make sure we understand these pluses. What does this plus and this plus right here mean on this virgin B cell? What is a virgin B cell? That's a B cell that's never seen antigen before. What is on the surface of every B cell that's a virgin cell? IgM and IgD. Once that cell is no longer a naive or a virgin cell, that means it has now been exposed to antigen, and what is produced no longer after it gets through the first sequence of IgM? It switches and starts making some other antibody. Well, what are the other antibodies that can be made by a memory cell? All of the IgGs, all of the IgAs, and all of the IgEs. Why do we not have an M and a D right here? Because after it does the first production, it doesn't make any more. Does everybody understand it? You must understand that. There are variants of antibodies. There are variants. What is an isotype? Well, an isotype is a class. It's a class of heavy chain or light chain. If it's a class of heavy chain, how many isotypes are there? There's five, unless you count the subclasses. There's five. M, G, A, E, and D. But if you count kappa and lambda, then that is also an isotype. Okay. How many isotypes did we say there were, not counting kappa and lambda? There's nine. But if you take these nine using kappa and lambda, Then how many are there? There's 18. Does every person in this room have all 18 isotypes? Yes, everybody has them. What this picture is showing you is it's showing you that IgG is different than IgA. And why is it different? Is it based on light chains or is it based on heavy chains? It's based on heavy chains, okay? I want to talk about idiotype. An idiotype is an individual, unique difference between antibodies binding certain antigens. Individual differences binding certain antigens. Let's say that both of these are IgG molecules, but this molecule is different from this molecule because what will it do? That will bind to a different what? Antigen than this one will. Okay? That will bind to a different antigen than this one will. Idiotype is talking about the specificity of antibodies. All right, let me ask you something. Does this lady right here have the same idiotypes as I have? No, because I've been exposed to different things than she's been exposed to. Do we both have the same isotypes? Yes. But why do we have different idiotypes? Because I have different antigens that have come into my body than been in her body. And so I have different antibodies. This is the specificity right here. All right, tell me where the specificity of the idiotype lies. Does it lie in the constant or the variable region of the molecule? In the variable region of the molecule. Okay. Now let's look at one more type of antibody variant. The first type of antibody variant was an isotype. The second type was an idiotype. The third type is an allotype. Well, what's an allotype? These are both IgG molecules. They're both. An allotype is a genetic difference between two members of the same species. Allotypes result in substitution of only one or two amino acids in the constant light or heavy chain, either in the constant heavy or the constant light chain, and it has absolutely no biological significance. That means that some members of this class may have some minor genetic differences in their immunoglobulins. Does that have anything to do with the function of the immunoglobulin? Nothing. Well, why in the world are we worried about that? When would you be concerned about minor genetic differences in immunoglobulin molecules? Transplantation, no. That's not the correct answer. But when would you be concerned? Now think. When would you think that you might want to know if there's some minor genetic variations in people? This girl has a baby. She says that the father is this guy. The father says, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, the man says, I don't know what you're talking about. Can you prove by checking allotypic variants paternity cases? Yes, you can. That is where they would use this type of strategy. Different minor genetic differences between two members of the same species, sorry, between two humans, you can determine paternity cases. That doesn't mean that you would always be able to use that for paternity cases, but you can sometimes.